Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witch School's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on Earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witch School's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagan Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagan Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagan Tonight.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in today. I am Michael Greywolf, artist, traveler, all-around geek, witch, and a brother initiate of the Unnamed Path.
And I'm Matthew Sidney, songwriter, storyteller, urban bard, mystic, and recent initiate of the Unnamed Path.
And we'd like to thank you for listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. On this podcast, we discussed the teachings and techniques given to us by the ancestors and laid out by our late founder, Hyperion. We also touched on topics and ideas pertaining to queer pagan men in general. We're glad you've decided to join us today, and we hope you'll be part of the show by calling in at area code 347-308-8222. You can also hang out in the chat room, or you could drop us an email at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at walking_theUP. Or you can find us on Facebook. We respond very quickly whenever we get messages on Facebook. That is facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. So, how are you, Matthew? I haven't spoken to you since last year. I mean, gosh, it's been such a long time.
I know, it feels like it's been forever. I'm doing really well. Had a lot going on in December, but all good stuff. And so I'm excited. I listened, of course, to the last two episodes that you did, and they were amazing. And I'm excited to see what 2017 has to unfold.
Yes. You know, Matthew and I last month started working on what we were wanting to do for this year. But before we get into that, lost my train of thought. Let's get back on the tracks. the start of the year for me has really taken a new, turn. When I was younger, it used to be all about, going out and having fun on New Year's Eve with my friends. But last year on the 2nd of January, my maternal grandmother passed away. And I will tell you this, I have never, cried like that before, even when I've had other relatives pass away or friends. It was hard.
It's understandable. Yeah. And I think a loss like that changes us.
Yeah. And this year, the anniversary of her passing, I said I was going to do a special dinner and, just take some time and reflect. And I did that. If you follow me on any type of social media, you'll see it where I posted pictures of I made entomasalas with beans and rice and guacamole, hot sauce and whatnot, and served my grandmother a plate on my ancestor altar, and took some time to just meditate on, you know, what, you know, this past year has meant to me and what this new year is going to mean to me. And, you know, that kind of tied into what we're going to talk about today, because I believe one of our brothers, who's going to be on the show with us today, made a post in the Unnamed Path group talking about how our founder, Hyperion, he was born on New Year's Day. He was born on January 1st, and he died. His passing is unfortunately 14 days later. Granted, there are vast, you know, differences in years. How old was Hyperion going to be this year? Was it 30?
Wasn't that much older than me. I think on January 1st, he would have turned 42, either 41 or 42.
And today, the 14th, January 14th, is the third anniversary of his joining the ancestors around the bonfire. So,
yes.
But, you know, David... our brother David Shorey did this amazing post on the Facebook group, which, you know, we'd already wanted to do kind of like a getting ready for the new year type episode. And it was an amazing, it was a great post. Let's see, do we want to read?
It was one of those cool synchronicities, because you and I had been talking about, okay, let's do something different instead of an interview. Our first episode of the new year, let's talk about what we're going to do, what our work is going to look like, what our spiritual work is going to look like, how we're going to address the new challenges of the year, how are we going to plan. And then David wrote this beautiful post, and he talked about utilizing this time from January 1st, the anniversary of Hyperion's birth, to January 14th, the anniversary of his death, and using that magical liminal period of time to reflect on ourselves and to reflect on our work and to reflect on what kind of change agent we want to be. And he had had no conversation with us about it. And then at the same time, around the same time, Sphinx had posted something really magical about how I think he was saying he felt called, and I've heard this from many other people, both inside and outside of the Unnamed Path, how they feel called to really step it up. We've lost a lot of elders. We've lost a lot of leaders. And the human race on planet Earth right now is at a very challenging point. And so all of us who are on the leading edge of mankind's spirituality, we're being called to step it up. So how are we planning for that? What is that going to look like? Are we willing to make that commitment? And these are some of the things that we're going to talk about. And gratefully, wonderfully, both David and Sphinx are here with us today to help us do that.
Yes. Let's go ahead and bring them on. Let's see. Here's David and Sphinx. Welcome.
Hello, brothers. Glad to be here.
Hello.
Hi, Sphinx. Hi, David. To get started, Sphinx, will you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Give us your elevator speech, listeners know who you are.
Okay. I am Aaron Sphinx Caps. I am an initiate and teacher of the Unnamed Path. I'm an initiate of Anderson Ferry, and I'm a sign language interpreter at my local university.
And David, tell us a little bit about you.
My name is David Shorey. I am an initiate and teacher of the Unnamed Path, a student of Druidry, an apprentice to Orion Foxwood in the House of Three Fairy Seership Institute. I work in the nonprofit field, and I think that's about it.
Awesome.
Thank you guys both so much for being able to dial in and be a part of the conversation today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we jump into the conversation, you know, the four of us were talking in the green room, and we thought it would be, since today is the anniversary of Hyperion's passing, we thought it would be a nice way of honoring him if we did a tree breathing. And Brother Sphinx has graciously volunteered to lead us in the tree breathing exercise. And for those who don't know, tree breathing is one of the first things Hyperion talks about in the original Unnamed Path podcast. Sphinx?
All right, everyone. If you would, find yourself in a comfortable position. Take a very long, deep breath. And as you exhale, just release the cares of the day. Inhale again. And out. And a third time, inhale. And on your exhale, imagine roots growing out of your tailbone and your feet that reach down, down through the floor of the building that you're in, past the many layers of soil and bedrock, past the bones of the dead, and emerging in the underworld, which we picture as a dimly lit, lush world, where the dark god sits on his throne, overseeing the activities of the ancestors, and the dark goddess stirs her cauldron of fate. And there our roots sink in and drink up the dark, syrupy energy of the underworld. And on your breath, that energy travels up your roots, past the bones of the dead, past the many layers of soil and bedrock, through the floor of the building that you're in and into your body, where it begins to pool at your feet and rises up your legs. It bathes your pelvis and your sex and your ass. It rises up your torso into your chest, spilling down your arms into your fingers, rising into your shoulders and your neck and your head. You are completely filled with the dark, syrupy energy of the underworld. And every place this energy touches is healed and brought into a place of alignment. And still we crave more and more and more until we can no longer contain it. And that energy rises out of our shoulders and out of our head like branches that reach up, up through the roof of the building that you're in, up past the tallest of trees, up past the mountaintops and through the clouds, and emerging in the upper world, which we picture as a brightly lit, vibrant world where the light god sits on his throne, orchestrating the activities of the guides, and the light goddess stands high in her tower, overseeing the wheel of destiny. And there our branches unfurl a canopy of lush leaves, which, like photosynthesis, drinks down that bright, sparkling energy of the upper world. And that energy cascades down our branches, past the clouds, past the mountaintops, past the tallest of trees, through the roof of the building that you're in and into your body, where it expands our awareness and heightens our senses, bringing us into the now. And that bright, sparkling energy of the upper world recognizes and responds to that dark, syrupy energy of the underworld. They mix and mingle and swirl and whirl and merge, igniting each other in ecstatic bliss. And this opens our hearts, increasing our capacity to love. And like a pounded drum or a clanging cymbal, that love echoes out from us in waves, connecting us to other men who love men in our vicinity, expanding outward to include all of those in our city, then our state, going further still to include the country, the continent, and circumnavigating the globe. And every heart that is touched in this way echoes love back to us, so that we are awash in a sea of love, the love of our people, our tribe. We're home. So I invite you to breathe into that place of love for a few breaths. And when you're ready to begin the work of the day, return your awareness to this space and this time and this body. Open your eyes and say, blessed be. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Sphinx. Oh, that's such a great way to start the day.
And I would like to just offer, I know that we do another thing called Raising the Great Crossroads, but it's a little difficult to do over radio. But I just want to acknowledge and honor the presence of the ancestors, of the magicians and prophets of old, of the shamans, of the energy healers and the death walkers, of the light god, the dark god, the dark goddess, and the light mology of the unnamed path.
So let's start with, you know, David. You know, that, like Matthew was saying, it was very coincidental that you wrote that post that you did for the Unnamed Path Facebook group. Now, what inspired you to write that?
Well, I say, you know, there's a lot of things going on just beyond the mere fact that a new, you know, Gregorian calendar year is starting, and people always think about, you know, using it as a blank slate and what can you do to what do you want to accomplish this year. But we have some added layers this time around, not only what's happening in Washington, but kind of the aspect of recovering, for lack of a better term, from what it is that we all faced during 2016, which was a lot. A lot of us had a lot of loss. A lot of us had a lot of changes, a lot of beginnings and endings. And so really I was inspired to think ahead to 2017. I did a similar post in 2016. And part of it, too, was there is an organization that has since changed names, but it was originally known as the Ecclesial Antinu, and I think it's now called the Nous Antinu, who sainted Eddie in their tradition. And they're a queer Greco-Roman organization focused on the god Antinous, or the god Antinous. They sainted Hyperion, and you know, in many traditions, saints have holy days or feast days, and some of them are on the birthday, and some of them are on the death day. And so I had a conversation about this with a member of that organization. They said, well, you could do either both. And I thought, well, why not focus in on those 2 weeks, beginning of the year, as a time for meditative reflection? And so I wrote that post, and I included a post that I often share that Purian himself wrote that was about what motivates him to do the work that he does or did and still does as a point of inspiration, a point of conversation for folks to maybe read that and think about what motivates them and, what they can do in this coming year.
Well, going from that, what is it that is going to be motivating you for this coming year? Each of us, actually. Let's go ahead and start with David and go to Sphinx and Matthew.
For me, I think the motivating factor that I'm having this year is to be able to make a difference to those around me, to be that pebble that drops in the pond to create ripples. I'm not going to be able to, to stop all the bad or to do all the good that needs to be done around me, but I am able to do what I can with the tools that I have and to recognize that I can continue to gain tools and continue to gain skills. So my real focus this year is to just work on what I can around me and make the most impact that I can so that I can then inspire others to do the same.
This is Sphinx. For me, it's a deepening of the work this coming year. I've had basically 2016 was a year of grief for me. And so 2017, I've felt very clearly a call to move, regardless of what emotional sensations we are feeling. I think anyone in the magical community can agree there's been this huge push to move. So if you're in grief, we can't really sit in our grief anymore. We have to grieve while moving. And if we're hurting, we can honor the hurt, but we can't really sit in the hurt anymore. We need to hurt and then continue to do our work. I felt very clearly a push to deepen my work, to challenge others to deepen their work as well. And while deepening, any current that we are running or any relationships that we have, we need to maintain those and utilize those. And if those are not being utilized, I have felt very strongly that if those who are initiated into currents are not using those currents, that people less qualified will be brought up to do work, because given the climate of things that are coming, we need to be doing active work. And so the need to rest, honor your rest, but the rest shouldn't be a full day anymore. It should be, a 30-minute here, an hour here. I will rest for this meal. It's just been this huge push for activity. And I have specific interpretations of what that activity looks like for me, but I don't want to put my interpretations for other people who are feeling similar pushes, because the current, for example, the four of us all run the same current, but how that current is expressed through the lens of David and expressed through the lens of Matthew and expressed through the lens of Michael and expressed through the lens of Sphinx, those expressions are completely different. So keep expressing, keep doing that expression while holding that current. But I've just had this huge call for action and activity and movement, and been pretty much told that if I don't move in the currents I possess, those less qualified will be called to do the action where I'm sitting in an action. So that's just what my goal is for the coming year, is continued growth and activity and setting goals week to week. And that's me. Thanks. Check.
This is Matthew. I went hands-free. Can you guys hear me okay? So for me, I think it mirrors a lot of what Sphinx discussed. I ended 2016 feeling extremely challenged. I was dealing with a lot of panic, depression, confusion, uncertainty, related not only to my personal life, but also to what's going on in our country, to what's going on in this planet. And David's post and the post from Hyperion that he shared and Sphinx's post also helped me to realize that the best thing I can do is strengthen my foundation. And I have an idea of what I want to achieve. One of the things I've done is make a list of goals. But I need to work out exactly how to do that and how to stand in my own power. And for me, what it's looking at right now is cultivating inner strength, cultivating stillness. I'm getting back into my daily practice. I'm getting back into meditating regularly. A big part of my spiritual practice is simply listening. And so far, so good. It helped me to embrace this new year so far from a position of centeredness. I'm not turning a blind eye to anything. I'm not burying my head in the sand, but I'm not allowing any situation outside of me to knock me off my center. And I think for me, that's the best I can do. And it's convenient and possibly synchronicitous that I'm going through the student teaching course with the Unnamed Path right now, and that's affording me an opportunity to revisit all the things that I've learned and deepen that practice and deepen my understanding and experience this spiritual strength at a deeper level. Michael, tell us how this is looking for you.
Well, you know, not to sound like just repeating what everyone else is saying, but, you know, like Sphinx had said, we all, you know, the four of us are riding the same current right now. And, you know, for me, this last year, 2016, kind of like what David had said, was a year of great loss. I had several friends pass away, including two family members. And, you know, it kind of all came to a point around the election. And, you know, I saw all my friends freaking out and, you know, giving into fear. And it made something click. I was like, you know, Our community is full of strong, magical people, and we need to start coming together. We need to start listening to each other. We need to start, you know, helping each other out however we can. Either, you know, lending energy, you know, talking about ways we can help this group, talking about ways how we can help that group, and it very much, you know, when the new year came around, I was like, okay, I need to make a list of goals, which is a practice that, you know, we teach in the Name Path. It helps us to visualize what we want to manifest in our daily life. And I made a short list of stuff that I was like, okay, I need to focus on these things right here. And one of them was, you know, continuing to do work on, you know, this podcast, my other podcast, getting my magical practice back up and running. Because, unfortunately, I'd kind of let it slide a little bit, but that happens to me around the winter. One of my totems is bear, and so winter time is very much a time of hibernation. I don't really want to do much. So it's like, okay, I need to get everything back up and running. And I have been doing that. Been doing a weekly divination and, you know, posting that. You know, like, this is, you know, giving it out to the community, like, okay, this is what this is meaning to me. And yeah, it's mostly, I feel like it's getting me ready. I need to be getting ready for another move, because this year I will be moving back to Texas. And I'm like, okay, as soon as I hit the ground, don't have time to, you know, waste. Got to get up and start running. So,
this is David. I wanted to kind of jump in and just say, one of the lessons that I've learned, not only in 2016, but just in my meditations this last couple of weeks, has been that I can choose to be afraid. I can choose to act out of fear, or I can choose not to. That fear informs me, but it doesn't guide me. And so much has been done to turn fear into a thing that, you know, tells people what to do and how to do it. And instead of being something that informs you, that allows you to then make decisions. That's one of the main points that came out of this past meditation. So I come out of this with a better relationship with fear, a better relationship and understanding of how it fits into my life, what I can learn from it, and also when I can say, thank you for sharing, and I'm going to move forward now.
I think that's very powerful, and I think that's something that is going to be helpful for me to take home, and I think for a lot of our listeners also, David, because I think you are very much tapping into the zeitgeist, the pervading feeling in our community. And I'm not just talking about the Unnamed Path. I'm not just talking about the spiritual community or the pagan community. I'm talking about, I think, people all over the world, people who care passionately about humanity's future and who care passionately about all living things. In some ways, perhaps fear is the number one challenge / enemy for us to make peace with as we move forward and tool up and strategize our next step as spiritual warriors. And then one thing that I wanted to share in groups that I belong to, such as Palm Beach Pagans and through them other members of the spiritual community, I've noticed a common theme. Someone shared with me recently a blog post, and to summarize it, he's talking about the call of the Morrigan, the Irish battle goddess, and the author talks about how in these times the feelings that are coming through is almost a call to arms, a call to action, a call to using one's power more fully in moving in this world and being a more active healer rather than a passive observer. And this theme seems to be coming to me. I know I feel it within myself and apparently other people too. And I was wondering if you guys were noticing the same wave.
This is things, definitely. It's coming through. That's what's been sort of interpreting my or informing my your work needs to deepen. You need to do something every day. You need to, those communities in which you belong, you need to sort of foster their movement forward too, where you're able. It's been very much deepen your work, be ready with your work, and move. Do not be caught sedentary. Do not be, take a break, but the break can't be, oh, I'm going to completely take this day off. That needs to be shrunk down to a much shorter period of time. Whatever that translates for each individual is up to them. But those, oh, I'm completely taking a day off to rest might not be where we can go right now. For me, definitely not. I can rest for 30 minutes, I can rest for an hour, but I can no longer do the whole day off sort of thing. And it's been in large part because of that energetic push. And yes, I agree completely. It's a call to arms.
And this is David. And one of the things about that as well is what I'm getting is that it's not, the call to arms is not to react, but to act. So if you feel that you are facing something, think about what it is that you can do, not to react to it, but to get ahead of it. How do you, if we want to talk battle strategies, how do we flank, quote-unquote, our opponent? How do we utilize a skill set that we have to gain the upper hand and be ahead of the situation to where they actually have to react to us? It goes back to what I was talking about, fear, in that many people react from fear and many people act from strength. So if you have identified some simple steps that you can take, get into the battle, but to have your battle plan ready, that brings a foundation that you can work from versus having to scramble around and say, oh, well, what do I say? What do I do? You know, where do I go? You already have that in hand.
Yeah, David, I think you make a really important point, and it reminds me of something that Hyperion teaches in his podcast, and that is also, very much a part of our tradition, and that is, from a magical standpoint, the magic that you do is colored by the emotions that you're feeling. And I think we can translate that outside of a magical world, or I'd like to think of every action that we do as magical. So every action that we take, every stand that we make, the outcome of that is going to be colored by how we're vibrating. Are we vibrating from a place of fear and panic, or have we crossed over the fear and panic so that we can act from a position of confidence and love? And I'm really digging what you said, because I really feel strongly the most powerful warrior is the one who's standing on a platform of love.
And yeah, and if you, you know, there's some simple things that people can do to evaluate whether or not they're coming from a place of love or a place of fear. You know, are you relaxed in your activities? And generally you're coming from a place of love. If you're tense, generally from a place of fear. And realize that love is not biased in one direction or another in terms of action. If you are doing something out of love to protect your friends, your family, your coworkers, your community, even if that action involves battle, as an example, you are acting out of a place of love. And so love is not passive. Love is active. And so when we, as members of the tribe of men who love men, when we reach out with our capacity to love and we connect with other brothers around the world, we are taking an active action to honor and to validate our experiences as men who love men. Don't be afraid. Don't fall into a fear trap that you can't use love in an active way to protect people, because in fact it's a really good motivator.
Well said, David. This is Sphinx. I just wanted to echo some of the key points that everyone was bringing up about being people of action and being in a place of action that you're moving in love and compassion, and knowing that love and compassion can also be fierce. So just those points were really well said. Thank you, brothers.
While we're on the topic, I have a question for any of you, all three of you. Do any of you guys have suggestions for strategies of how to get past fear? And I think a lot of people are feeling a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty, panic, terror. What suggestions do you have in terms of exercises, practices, habits to help get out of that and to step back into, relax back into confidence?
This is Sphinx. So it depends on what the fear is doing. Fear is our emotional reaction, and from the unnamed past standpoint, it starts in the serpent and bubbles up. The serpent is the one that informs the star's decisions, but the star is the one who makes the decision. Okay, so if we're having an emotional response, we need to look at it because it's giving us information. But the star is the one who ultimately makes the decision. Otherwise, we go back to what David was saying, where we're reactive versus being people of action. Sometimes what we can do is simply sit with it. What is it trying to tell us? And kind of unweave the fear to the core emotion that's underneath the fear and what we're feeling about it and why. And sometimes the fear is telling us, this thing is not appropriate for you. if that's what it's telling us, then we indeed need to stop. But I think what you're getting at, Matthew, is I'm frightened, but I know I need to do this. My entire being is calling me to do this. There are times that we can work with that fear and then channel it into the work as well going forward. But what I mean by that is if I'm afraid to step, I might be able to work with the fear and be past the fear in order to step. But I think we're entering a place where, oh my gosh, I'm afraid and I'm going to step anyway. That's where I think we're entering, where the fear is not directing the action, but we're still holding the emotion while we're acting, if that makes sense.
And along with that, one of the exercises, one of the exercises that we teach that's actually on the podcast is called peeling. And peeling is where you find yourself faced with a situation that you can feel fear or you can feel an emotion arising out of it. And you ask yourself, the reason for that is, and then you come up with that answer. And then continue to ask that, well, the reason for that is, and you come up with that answer. And work down to why you're reacting to a situation to find out, you know, is it from fear, from feeling alone? Is it from, you know, are you hungry, angry, lonely, tired? What's motivating your action? And then you can then take an action to address that, eat, drink, sleep, talk to a friend, share, and then be able to be more grounded and centered and be able to move forward and deal with the original issue that you were facing. To build upon what Finks was also saying, we work with our shadow self and our higher self in the unnamed path. And shadow self, a lot of people view their shadow self as a negative that you have to eviscerate or get out of yourself. And we actually in the unnamed path view it as something that you make a relationship with. You build a relationship with, you understand where it's coming from, you are able to engage it. And by engaging it, you are taking away some of the negative energies that are associated with it, and you have a better understanding of how to work with it. We also deal with our higher self. And often our higher self, for people, view the higher self as maybe the high logic and the enlightenment and all, and but it takes, if you solely focus on your higher self and you don't engage your shadow self, then what you're doing is you are not becoming a well-integrated person. You're relying too much on maybe logic and negating the feelings that you are having. So going through a process where you go, okay, I'm feeling this emotion. My logical self says that I should do this. My shadow self is reacting to the situation. How do I bring them together into to where my shadow self, I've dealt with the issues my shadow self is raising. I've also tempered the high-mindedness, for lack of a better term, of my upper, my higher self, to be able to come and be more balanced in how I deal with the situation.
Yes, and yeah, I don't think I could really add to it either of what Sphinx or David said, but I could give you a personal example. For me, I am deathly afraid of speaking in public. And I've know that stems from a fear of, you know, putting myself out there, you know, fear of not wanting to embarrass myself. But I will, because I know this, I will take extra steps to make sure whenever I have to speak in public, I am comfortable. Like, I will go over what I'm going to say with someone beforehand, or when I'm actually speaking, I will focus on something in the background, because the eyes staring at me won't bother me if I'm not looking right at them. I will glance at them occasionally to show people I am interacting with them, but I will keep my focus on the thing that is keeping me centered. Or I will find another alternative, another route to do the speaking, kind of like this right here, podcasting. I don't have people staring at me, and I'm doing it kind of anonymously. doing a recording or doing live radio, and people are listening, or they'll listen to it later. But they're
I'm staring
not
at you in my spying mirror.
Yes.
I have your picture up on Facebook. I'm looking at you.
Oh, thanks.
We know what you're wearing.
Do you?
Or not, as the case may be.
You would be surprised.
So, what's in my notes here? I think, David, you had mentioned, and I might be paraphrasing, what type of change agent do I want to be? So I'm curious if you guys have thought about this. So I'm going to pick on Sphinx. What kind of change agent do you hope to be in 2017?
Change agent? I am supposed to just be, right now, all I know is the next step. I don't have anything bigger than I'm supposed to be ready for when I hear a call to act. And that level of preparedness goes to daily practice goes toward that. Maintaining my relationship with my spiritual courts go to that. Maintaining my relationship with my fey allies goes into that, even though that's not specifically a named path. That's part of my other tradition. But it's just, I feel a call, I guess, to be prepared. And I know what that looks like right now is getting some stuff codified for the unnamed path that we've all agreed on, but we've never really written down. So that's one of the main things that I'm working on. What happens after that, I can't see, because that's what I'm focused on right now. And after my fairy initiation, the one thing that I've not been able to do is used to, I was very far seeing. I could see like 5, 6, 7 steps ahead. Now I can only see like 1 or 2, which on the one hand is very frustrating, but on the other hand is very informative, because it focuses all of my attention and all of my energies on just those 2 steps. So for me, it's a call to prepare. And so when something happens, I am ready for it. But I don't have a specific call to what that looks like after I'm prepared. I don't know what that looks like yet.
Okay. To me, that sounds legit. I think that's the healthiest place to be, is to know what your step is now. I think that's more powerful than knowing what your path or your calling is supposed to look like 6 months from now. David, I know you don't have much time, but I want to hear from you. David, what type of change agent do you hope to be in 2017?
Well, I want to be the person who utilizes the tools around me. And what I mean by that is that I've had a few experiences where I will post on Facebook, and I will usually sometimes post a quote or a song or something, and I do so because I realize that I can't go out and, you know, fix the problems in Boston, Massachusetts, or fix the problems in Seattle, Washington, or Hilo, Hawaii, or, you know, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or, but what I can do is I can drop, like I said, that pebble in the pond, and utilizing tools like Facebook, I can affect other people. They can be inspired by maybe what I post, and then are inspired to post something on their own or to do something because of the post I posted. I also know that are my friends and my family and my neighborhood and maybe my city. And so what is it that I'm doing there? And in my job, what is it that I'm doing there that I'm inspiring or giving permission to people who already have the permission but maybe don't realize it, that they can then step up and do change. And these aren't like huge things. These are like picking up the phone and calling a friend who I haven't talked to in a while and just saying, how are you? They're, when you're walking across the street and you see someone who needs some help, offering help. When you have an opportunity to call your representative in Congress or your senator and say, I don't support this bill and I don't want you to do that either, then doing that. I think the thing that I have realized as well when I talked about the fear aspect is that those who have a bias or an agenda against men who love men and who we are and what we represent, their only tool that they have is to work to make us to be afraid of them. And if we are not afraid of them, if we are standing in our own power and taking action with our power that we have, connecting with our ancestors, connecting with our deities, connecting with people who share our common beliefs and common ethics, then it doesn't matter what they say or what they do, because we already have an army of folks who are able to just look at them and shake our heads and go, no. So the change agent that I can be is the individual who tells the person who's hurting that I'm here for you, who says to the person who is afraid to speak, you know, I was afraid to speak once too, but I'm going to be standing right here, right next to you, and go ahead and open your mouth, and if you need to, hold my hand. That is the kind of change agent that I want to be. And am I going to be perfect at it? No, because none of us are perfect. And but I'm going to do the best that I can, learn from my mistakes, grow from them, and celebrate what the accomplishments that I can do.
That's powerful. Thank you.
And I do have to go. I have an appointment that I have to run off to, but. So I'm going to just say I love you all, Sphinx. I love you so much for the work that you're doing behind the scenes. The listeners probably have no clue what we're talking about, but I do. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. And I wish everyone the opportunity to be the magical person that you are, and for you to take advantage of that.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
All right.
Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Michael, what kind of change agent do you see yourself aspiring towards being in 2017?
Well, no, I've been thinking about that for a while, ever since, you know, seeing David's post. And it also makes me think of something I was talking with my other co-host, Dr. Susan, on All X 11 Pleasure, when we did our first episode of the new year. And she was talking about a practice that she does where she chooses a word, and that's her word for the year, and how last year her word had been priestess. And she's like, okay. She got the word from meditation, and she's like, all right, so priestess is my word for the year. Let's, see how this manifests throughout the year. And throughout the year, she had all these different opportunities to take on the mantle of being a priestess. She has led workshops. She's hosted a couple of retreats. She's even started a, she has classes on mysteryschoolofthegoddess.com or .org, whatever it is. And I can't remember if she told me what her word for this year was. I think she was still working on it, or she was going to get it when she did a full moon ritual, because this weekend was the full moon. And so I was like, that's an awesome idea, getting a word for the year. And the word that keeps popping in my head is service. And I was like, okay, and that very much coincides with the type of change agent I want to be, I want to manifest in myself for this year, is being a person of service for the community. Because we are, like Hyperion often said, we are shamans for our community, and we are not shamans for ourselves. And so, and with everything that's going to be happening this year, the next 2 years, the next 4 years, with our community, our magical community, our LGBTQ community, our country, our world, we are going, all of us at some point are going to have to take on the mantle of service. We're going to have to do whatever we can to help strengthen, to help comfort, to help better, help grieve for moments that are going to be coming up within the next, within this year, within the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. In short, the type of change I want to manifest for myself is, person of service. And what about you, Matthew?
I what keeps coming back to me is, and I think it's a fundamental truth, that if you want to change the world, you have to change yourself. And I have a habit, and maybe it has to do with the way I grew up or being the oldest child or whatever. I'm that guy who's quick to jump on his white charger. Okay, how are we going to fix this? I'm going to tell you what to do. And there's so many things going on that are really outside the scope of me. I can't just, I can't fix the country by, giving someone a lift to the hardware store. And in my meditations and in my spiritual work, I keep getting the message that there's an opportunity here to transform myself, to begin peeling away the outer skin, to molt and reveal the more authentic and more empowered than who is buried within. And that through that transformation, that's going to be reflected all around. And of course, I don't think that's just me. I think that's everybody. When every one of us allows ourselves to be transformed, it has a transformative effect on the world. And I think for me in 2017, this is definitely going to be a period of profound transformation for me. And as far as, and I'm a firm believer in serving community and serving others. And what I want to be, what I hope to be, is more centered. I'm a Gemini, right? So there's that side of me that's frantic and panicky and all this nervous energy and spastic and probably a little bit too much of a drama queen. And that side of me isn't necessarily the most powerful. And when I get back into the stillness and when I get back into the seat of wisdom, being that person when other people are going through it, when other people are falling apart, being able to access that still pond and reflect on what's going on and bring back that information to others coming from a position of peace, I think it's kind of what I see myself doing more of as I learn to become less panicky.
Excuse me. Yeah. Don't know where I'm going.
I feel like, you know, right, all our brains are I can hear our, you know, psychic teeth chewing on our thoughts, chewing on the cud of our thoughts. Sphinx, do you have any messages, insights that you'd like to share for our listeners? Is there anything that you feel that it's important for them to know?
There just a couple of things, just to reiterate what I've been saying before about deepen your work and make ready whatever that means for you. Maintain your relationships. And the main piece of most of this is we think that everything needs to be big and grandiose. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. The way you build relationships is in the little things. So it's putting out the offering every Tuesday as instructed, or putting out lighting the candle every day, whatever that little thing is that can make a huge impact as far as building those relationships. What does your work look like when you're moving in it? I think is the question that everyone's sort of been touching on, and that's different for each of us. And some of us go deep and share our journey work, and some of us touch people and transform them. Does your work look like? And I think that's a big question that part of our journey in our magical practices is trying to discover, you know, what is your work? And then that work, when that work comes into action, what does that look like? And that informs our practice, and that informs what our lens is that any magical current that we'll ever run will refract through.
Yeah, I think the three of us here and David, you know, all of us, I think we're blessed that we have tools in our toolkit that are geared towards helping us to discover that. You know, if you're not sure what you should be doing, you know, do a divination. If you're not sure about what your practice should look like, do a journey work and speak with an ancestor for insight on that. I think a lot of folks there in the world don't have the same tool set, but they still have the confusion and the uncertainty, and they still sometimes are struggling to find out what they should be doing. And I guess where I'm headed is to assure them that there's resources out there, you know, that there's opportunities to learn and resources out there for everyone to gain the insight that they need. And I think there's a big difference between running around asking people or asking experts for suggestions versus going within and opening up to spirit, because I think that's where we're always going to get the best advice and the most valuable guidance is from that direction.
That's an excellent point. That's a question I've actually been wanting to ask several brothers. Like, I'm still at the point that when I see a really good book by an author I adore, I buy the book, and then the moment I start reading it, I feel like all of my spiritual cord is going, you can get all this information from sitting. you know what I mean? I feel like I'm at the point now where, yes, it's great work. I don't want to put down the work, and I don't want to put down those who have done it, who have put it into print, because it's amazing stuff. But at a certain point, you're no longer the receiver of information. You're the one doing the work. And so... Go ahead.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm a total book whore, and many a times I'm at the bookstore, I'm cruising Amazon, and a little voice says, really? Really? Honey, haven't you read enough books? Don't you think it's about time you put the books down and just start actually doing the work? I could definitely relate to you on that front.
For me, it's not even, you can do this yourself. It's whenever I see the books, I'm like, okay, but I need to add it to the collection, or it's by my friend. I have to buy it to support them.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally going to buy these books to support my friends. I'm totally going to read those books. And there's a lot of information that I'm gleaning by going within. And most classes and most books teach you techniques. Your own truth is found within, and found within the relationships that you make with your spiritual cord. That's what empowers and informs your work going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Very true.
Yes.
And not to disparage books. I think we all agree that there's tremendous material out there. And even me, I actually just started reading a book that had been suggested to me by a brother, and it just totally, it was one of those things where I happened to pick it up at the right time, and so it's dovetailing perfectly with stuff that's come through in sitting meditation. And it's, you know, there's kind of this a delicious synchronicity going on, and it's providing me with a little bit of a sounding board for what I'm experiencing in my personal practice.
Mm. Oh yeah, I totally love moments like that. It's that old adage of, I don't need validation, but it's really nice when you get it. So it's like, oh, you're experiencing that too. Okay, awesome.
And speaking of books, you know, one of our brothers and a guest who has been on the show, Kai Armand, has just had a book come out. You know, since we're talking about friends and books, you know, might just want to plug that for our brother.
It's a beautiful book. I received my copy. It's very useful and informative, but not only that, it's filled with beautiful photographs. I have it on the coffee table. I think it's the perfect coffee table book.
It's a beautiful piece of work all around, both spiritually and visually. It's just an amazing piece of work.
We may have to get Kai on and do a review of the book with him in the future.
I think we're going to do that. So for the benefit of our listeners, if you want to go onto Amazon, you can purchase Clearing Spaces, Inspirational Techniques to Heal Your Home by Kai Armand. And his name is spelled K-H-I, last name Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D. He is a brother initiate of the Unnamed Path. And we have had him on this show. I had a great chat with him about soul retrieval and other aspects of shamanic practice. And his new book is just fabulous. Really digs deeply. I think we're all familiar with the concept of staging your home or smudging your home. But he really goes into various traditional practices and dimensions around the spiritual maintenance of your home, which I think is tremendously valuable. And the book is pretty and friendly enough where I think it's safe to leave it out in front of your non-spiritual friends and family, or if you have friends or family who are a little uneasy about magical practice or deeper spiritual practice, this is a book that might be a good way to bridge maybe open up some positive communications between people who don't otherwise see eye to eye.
Well, just want to say thank you again to Sphinx for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Are you going to any festivals this year?
I will not be able to. I've gone to Pantheon. I highly recommend it. It's fabulous for those who are able to attend. I will not be able to attend this year, but I hope to attend years going forward. Someone's got something going on outside their window.
Not me.
that was probably me. Shame on the traffic.
Oh, gotcha. I won't be able to attend this year. I highly recommend it. It's always great to be around other like-minded individuals and other seekers. It's a wonderful time to be had. So if you are able to make it, I highly recommend going. I unfortunately won't be able to make this year, but I hope to make next year.
And a couple of our brothers are presenting at PantheaCon this year. I know David is running a panel around
death.
Yes. You guys have very hard for that word.
I can't think of the name for
to
it.
Roll off my tongue. I think it's a panel on death and dying, and the spiritual dimensions around that, and. I don't remember who all the participants are, but
I remember a couple of them. Tommy's going to be on it. Byron Ballard is also going to be on the panel. And unfortunately, that's all I remember.
and it's Tommy, like six
people. So.
Yeah. And Tommy Starchild is also presenting. I think he's doing a workshop on magic. And it's going to be, I wish I could have gone this year. Well, who knows? There could be a shift in the stars that could, change the threads of fate a little bit. But as it stands now, it looks like I'm not able to go this year. But I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Just like my other two brothers here, I will not be attending. But maybe after PantheaCon is in February. I can't remember what weekend. But maybe afterwards, after the gathering, we can get a couple of our brothers who have attended to come on and give us kind of a review of what happened at PantheaCon. Maybe have David come on and talk David and Tommy come on and talk about their panel.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know, there's so much stuff going on this year within our community, all sorts of festivals. If, you know, if you happen to attend a festival, if you're a speaker or if you host a festival, especially if you host one that is catered to, you know, the queer community, like our festival, Stern and Stang, which won't be happening this year. It should be happening the next year because it's a bi-weekly, not bi-yearly
biennial
gathering.
Biennial. SAT word.
But, you know, there's other ones that happen. There's Pagan Spirit Gathering at Midsummer. There's also, what is that one in Ohio? Hyperion went to it. It was Between the Worlds.
Between the Worlds. And this is Matthew again. Yours truly will most likely be at Florida Pagan Gathering, which is a semi-annual event. It happens twice a year, once around Gallatin, once around Samhain. And I will most likely be going again in May, late April, May, and hopefully again assisting my dear friend Dion Martinez, who does a workshop on connecting with the spirit of the guardian of the land, the spirit of the land. You know, he and I dwell here in Florida, and in our work we've made contact with the guardian spirit of the peninsula and our unique watershed, and we affectionately call her Our Lady Florida. And he leads workshops in connecting with her, and those have been very impactful. And it looks like we're going to be going back again to Florida Pagan Gathering to do that and share that with more people. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Sphinx. Thank you, Matthew, for, you know, being my wonderful co-host. And, you know, we're getting all sorts of fun things ready for this year for you, our listeners. We are hoping to do some more interviews with more of our brothers. Probably do maybe a couple more podcasts like this where we just kind of, you know, sit and chat about a topic. And, you know, and also delve into, like we were saying, if you are someone who works with one of these events, if you're also someone who works with another queer pagan path, you know, we'd love to hear from you too, like a member of the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, the Minoan Brotherhood, because we're all part of the same tribe, and we can all learn from each other. So, you know, if you'd be interested in getting in touch with us, you can always email us at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Walking the Unnamed Path. And, you know, let's get some magic flowing. Let's get some communication going. Let's build our community.
Yes. Yes, I can feel it. thank you so much for your time and your insight. And as we were talking, I'm coming up with ideas for future shows. So we're definitely having you back, and there's so much more to cover. And Michael, thank you. And thank you for carrying the torch and doing such a great job when I was out of pocket. And thank you to our listeners. Remember, you are a beautiful, magical child. There is no one like you, and you came into this world for a purpose. And please bless us by opening up and being who you are and standing in your power. This is 2017 is a number one year, and this is a time for new beginnings and rebirth. So I love you all, and be blessed. And I have to run. But thank you guys so much. And we'll do this again.
Love you guys.
Soon.
Thank y'all. Thank you for your work.
Love
y'all
you.
Have a great win.
Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. And, you know, to end the show, I think I'm going to play a little song from Spiral Rhythm. I am pagan.
I am pagan, and I'm proud. I am pagan, gonna shout it loud. I am pagan, want the world to know that I follow the goddess, cause she rocks my soul. Don't need your Bible. This life I'm reborn, no Ten Commandments, one fills the bill, and it harm none to what you will. I am pagan, and I'm proud. I am pagan, gonna shout it loud. I am pagan, want the world to know.
And that was I Am Pagan by Spiral Rhythm. Many thanks again to my wonderful co-host, Matthew Sidney, and our special guests for today, Brother David Shorey and Brother Sphinx. If you would like to get in touch with us, we are more than willing to, you know, talk with people from other traditions, or if you are organizing an event, you know, please email us at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. And we will be back in 2 weeks. I believe our next show is January 28th, and we're ironing out the details on our guest for that show. And before I go, I would just like to say thank you, Eddie, for bringing this path into my life, into the lives of my brothers. You are greatly missed. I'm sorry I did not get a chance to meet you and know you. But your legacy lives on through the work we do. And you are dancing with the ancestors right now. And all we can do is just remember you and thank you. All right. Everyone have a blessed day. Let me just close this.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagan Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagan Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagan Tonight.